Four.
Thursday, March 26th, 2026. Luke, can you call the roll, please?
Okay, Commissioner Schützenhofer. Commissioner Sager.
Here.
Commissioner Graham White. Chair Franek.
Here.
Commissioner Forehand.
Here.
And Commissioner Murr.
Here.
Gang's all here.
Okay. Public comment. Now, I believe you're here on the to do a presentation on one of the potential garage demolitions. Is that correct? Perfect. If you have another topic you'd like to talk about, now would be the time. If not, then we'll deal with it sequentially. Okay, great. Thank you. I don't see anyone else. Luke, did you get anything in writing?
I did not.
Okay. Approval of meeting minutes for the last meeting on February 26th. Does anyone have any comments or proposed changes?
I don't.
Nope.
I don't see any comments. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Luke?
Commissioner Schützenhofer?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Graham White? Chair Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand?
Aye.
And Commissioner Murr?
Aye.
Right.
Review of the application for a certificate of appropriateness for completeness for 1447 Ashland. It's a proposed garage demolition and addition. The floor is yours. If you could just go to the microphone, make sure it's turned on, and state your name and address, please.
Hi, good evening, commissioners. My name is Mindy Viamontes. I'm an architect and partner at Viamontes Architects. I'm joined tonight by my partner, Mike. And our client Kelly is stuck in traffic, but she'll probably poke in here right as we wrap up here. Her and her husband, James, purchased this piece of property and plan to move in after the renovation with their two young boys. Are planning to invest significantly in this property. We do a lot of historic work and love Tudors, so it's kind of near and dear to our hearts. So really excited to present this to you this evening. Luke, are we going to run through the slides, or you want me just to give a description?
I think a brief description would be appropriate at this time, since it's just but from completion. There should be a new fancy clicker up there.
Oh,
we just got. I'm sorry for not pulling it out. And yep. If you want to, you might. I would click that.
Oh,
and
perfect.
Hold that top button. It does like an should do like a virtual pointer.
That's okay. I can go through it this way.
Yes.
So I'll flip through the slides that are up on the screen. The property itself is located on the corner of Ashland and Lemoyne, and it's a fairly large lot. It's visible from two sides of the street. And the proposal is to retain the existing house with the exception of the existing one-story two-car garage, which is very undersized for cars to actually pull in. There's also a two-story wood-framed addition that was added to the rear of the home. At some later point, that's pretty significantly deteriorated at this point that would be coming down as part of the proposal. So I'm going to flip through, and then I think the renderings are going to be in here also, which will be helpful. So one of the things that we really were conscious of from the beginning is because it sits on a corner lot, making sure that that addition that we're proposing to the rear of the house really isn't that visible from either Ashland or Lemoyne. So you can see here in this series of slides, we're going to run you through the exterior elevations and the modifications that we're doing here. That top slide is the proposed. The addition is sitting in the rear behind the original historic house that you see down below. Throughout the house as well, we are replacing windows. The windows themselves are a mix. The original windows, we believe, would have been leaded glass throughout this house. They have been replaced throughout the years. There are a few leaded glass windows remaining, and where possible, we are planning to restore. There are some that are far beyond their years, and most of the windows have been replaced just with clear glass that sits pretty far back and doesn't have any muttons or any kind of divided light in it at all. This elevation is taken on the garage side. So this is taken if you were standing on Lemoyne looking towards the property. You can see the existing garage on the left, the proposed garage on the top. Again, it's a two-car garage is what we're proposing. It is 1.5 story with a small study up above. We spent a lot of time really trying to tie the existing roof lines into the historic house. We're planning on replacing the new addition would have brick that matches the historical brick. The slate roof on the existing house is being proposed to remain. It's in fairly good condition with a few areas that we're going to be repaired and throughout. And the new addition is all receiving a slate roof to match the existing. The original house, with the exception of some later additions that happened to the rear of the house, has copper gutters and downspouts. Again, those are being restored with new copper gutters and downspouts on the rear of the house. So I tell you that too, because our clients, a lot of clients would come to you wanting an asphalt roof or other things. They really understand the historical significance of the home. And they're spending a significant amount of money investing in these things that I think will really contribute to the overall quality of the home itself. This is the rear elevation, so probably where the most change is happening. There is an existing pool on this property that's also in a state of significant disrepair that's coming off. On the bottom, you can see that two-story wood-framed addition that is in bad repair. And then to the left side, you can see where we are adding on our new 2.5-story addition with all of the roof lines tying into the existing structure. So that seems as seamless as possible. And then finally, this is from the neighboring property. You can see again that 2-story addition that would be coming off, the garage poking out, and then the proposed is on the top. Aerial shot of the existing property. You can see the existing slate roof, the brick, all of that being maintained. This slide shows you on that lower left the picture of that 2-story addition that's coming down, that wood frame structure. Here's some close-up shots of that to kind of show you the condition. It's pretty scary on the inside, so kind of in a state of overall disrepair. And then here is the slide showing the existing garage. And you can see the existing garage is very shallow in depth. It's probably almost impossible to pull most vehicles into this garage. They did try to modify it at some point to make it more wider. And you can see that little bump out addition on that far left slide where they tried to give it some additional depth. And then coming through, there are a few locations where there are existing leaded glass windows. To the extent possible, we are taking out some of those and moving them into the addition and moving them outboard. There is one corner window that we're hoping to completely restore. They are covered by storm windows on the outside. So even on the outside right now, the beauty of these leaded glass windows that are remaining from the original are not really apparent. The slide on the right is going to show you those replacement windows that happened at some point where it's just clear glass. This is a window on the left up at attic level. So this would have been an original window. This is showing that true divided light, which was also inspiration for us to look towards as we're looking at Marvin Ultimate windows. They're going to have historic brick mold. We are proposing divided lights for all of them to bring back some of the character and scale to this house that's lost, where you just see the clear single pane glass. This is that corner window that exists. Again, hoping to restore and maintain this. Front door is being planned to be maintained. And then I'm going to flip you through a series of renderings that'll just give you a better idea. So we're going to flip between existing condition and proposed on each of these views. So looking from the corner, this is the existing condition. And then proposed. And I think that that last slide is helpful just to understand again, very minimal kind of impact from that corner view. Existing and proposed, again, seeing that garage kind of peek out on the left-hand side, but you're really not getting a sense for the addition that we're adding to the rear from this corner view at the street level. And then this is taken from Ashland. Looking towards Lemoyne, this is the existing condition, and there's where you can see that addition poking out with that proposed rear addition that we're adding. Aerial shot, existing and proposed. This is the rear shot. This is an aerial shot. So obviously, this is going to give you kind of the best understanding of the proposal. On the left-hand side, again, you see that two-story addition that's going to come down, and then you can see the garage in this view. And there's the proposal. Again, I think this is really helpful to just see how seamless at the end of the day, again, thinking about the continuity of all of those materials being reused, matching the historic brick, matching the slate roof, and extending out those gable roof lines for the new addition. Rear shot existing and proposed, and existing and proposed. And then just kind of a final view here. With that, I would turn it back over to you. We're happy to answer any questions. Kelly, our client, has joined us, so.
Well, go on, Dave.
Welcome. Are there any questions from the commissioners?
Was curious if you did you ever find any old photos of the house?
I don't know if we have you guys come across any old photos, Kelly?
We do have a call with our team that we can learn about the house. We offer share stories about it. And father was actually for 30-ish, about 5 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're looking into anything we can learn further about the house.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the beautiful houses in River Forest. Are in terms of the existing light fixtures, are you going to try to restore those, especially the one on the front door? This is the one that,
And the exterior light
yeah, on the
fixtures.
exterior.
That's something we can definitely discuss with our clients. We actually haven't talked about the exterior light fixtures too much. Unfortunately, there was a lot of flooding that happened in the house, and a lot of the interior has been stripped out, other than kind of the photos that we saw and looked at. But yeah, that's a great point, John. We'll
I
take
would
a look
just
at that.
take a look at that front door fixture. It's
Okay.
pretty amazing. And then the ironwork too. I think you're probably gonna
Yeah.
save that as well, hopefully. Because and then the only other question I or comment I had was on the window wells that are gonna be in the front, the new window wells, will they be capped with brick to match the house?
Yeah, we are capping those with brick. Based on egress, we have a bedroom that's going into the basement. We do need to have like a little tiny rail, like ornamental metal railing on top of those. But yes, brick.
Well, there's plenty of inspiration with the iron work if you
Yes.
if you want to go that far. But no, I think you've done a wonderful job. It's fun to see a house like this being, renovated and
Thank you.
made useful for future family. No.
Your proposal right now is governed by the existing ordinance, which we're in the process of revising. The existing ordinance provides for a two-step process. So right now we're kind of talking about the completeness. I would have to say this is among the most, if not the most, complete presentation that I've seen. You're going to be congratulated on it. In terms of photographs, Jan can speak to this perhaps in more detail than I can, but the Historical Society, Oak Park and River Forest, which is in a former fire station on Lake Street, just to the east of the Pete's Grocery Store on Lake Street, has a clip file for each block within both villages, including in many instances a lot of photographs as well as real estate listings. So you can see what the photographs were of that time, at such a period of time as they were advertised among any one of the what, seven newspapers that covered our area. So that may be a potential source of some further information on the
Okay, yeah,
exterior.
that we would be interested in seeing that, so.
Does anybody else have any other comments, questions?
Was that garage original?
I don't know if we 100% know if that garage was original. It had definitely been modified through the years. And you saw that in some of the slides where there was the wood structure that they had extended out. I would say based on the character of the home, it's pretty plain in its overall detailing. But
I think it probably was not. It's not even connected on the side of the house.
Oh.
To go out.
Oh, really?
So, okay. This is brick.
It is.
Yeah, so we stay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We stay mad.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that. Yeah.
Well, hearing or seeing no other comments, is there a motion to accept the application as complete and schedule it for a discussion of a potential COA in our next meeting?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll say.
Luke?
Okay. Commissioner Schutzenhofer?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Graham White?
Yes.
Chair Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
And Commissioner Murr?
Yes.
Thanks.
All right. Just for you guys, while I have you guys here, the next, we meet on the fourth Thursday of each month. So that would be April 23rd would be the tentative date. Well, thanks for coming in.
That may change.
Mm-hmm.
Great. But we'll certainly keep you apprised.
Yep.
Thank you.
But thanks.
Good luck.
It's a good job.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
Jealous.
Proposed application for garage demolition for 236 Keystone. I see no one here to present. We have the application in front of us. In terms of comments, I guess my question would be, do we have any photographs of the existing principal structure to determine how this relates to it? It's something that I think I personally would like to see.
Okay, we do not have that, but that's something we could ask that be included if the commission were to so choose, move this to the next meeting.
There should be. Yeah, right after it. I don't
there know. Should be one in the big. If this is a significant property,
right?
So it would be in the big book because the big book has pictures. So,
right, but that's also, you know, probably 2.5 by 3.5 inches.
Well, it is.
So I'm looking for
a smartphone,
a bit more with a bit more detail. These glasses not being props.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I think as part of the package for these, especially significant structures, they should have a few shots of the of the principal dwelling.
Yep. Any other thoughts or questions or comments or things that any of the commissioners would like to see?
I know we're looking at these from a matter of completeness of the, and I think from that perspective, it's complete other than the missing photographs.
Okay.
Is it appropriate to talk more about it at this point, or should we put this off to?
I think we're just talking about the completeness at this point.
If you have anything you would think you would like the applicant to possibly include at the next at the next meeting, now would be the time to voice that.
Exactly.
Besides the photos,
If there's some questions that you've got that you're noodling on, and that are seeking answers that perhaps they can provide.
Yeah. I don't think it's something that they can provide at this point. So it's just more of a discussion about it as we get there.
Gotcha. But okay.
Thank you.
Well,
I have a question. We don't have photographs of the current structure, but the first one on Ashland did a great job, you know, with the brick veneer and the slate roof, you know, trying to match the existing architecture. Do these need to try to, you know, demonstrate that they're trying to match? Don't want to match the architect. Because
I mean,
they look pretty basic.
I would think I would think in some ways yes, but I think the commission knows it always comes down to each application. I think the previous one, and my opinion, with it being directly attached to the house, maybe that might be a time for more. Dave, do you have any thoughts about historical?
I think it would be nice, but I don't think it's something that we can require, particularly if we look at it and we say, depending upon, my question, one of the reasons for looking at a photograph is to try to figure out what the vintage of the home is.
Right.
And that way you can then determine whether this current structure is contemporaneous or it was just something that was just, slapped down at some point in time. It's clearly, got some issues in terms of how it was sited because it's, under grade. I'm sensitive to that, but it's just from our preservation perspective, the question is how does it relate to existing structure?
Yeah, it's hard not to talk about that from my perspective, but us being advisory, I think we can certainly talk about it with them, but it's also turns into a cost issue,
So, okay. Well, is there, what I'm hearing then, is there a motion to state that the application is complete pending our receipt of some photographs of the principal structure, the dwelling, such that we can get a feeling for age, materials, etc.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second, Jen.
Luke.
Commissioner Schutzenhofer. Commissioner Sager.
Yes.
Commissioner Graham White.
Yes.
Chair Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand.
Yes.
And Commissioner Murr.
Yes.
Okay. 743 William. Are there any questions with respect to this proposal to demolish and replace an existing garage? Again, we're looking at this application, not on its merits, but as for completeness.
Well, same issue. Pictures of the what are we calling the principal structure?
I think it's primary structure.
Primary structure. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
I think it's principal because there can be multiple principal structures, but only one primary.
Okay.
Here it may be a primary, but I just want to.
Is that potato potato thing?
Well, there's actually a minute distinction that I'd like to.
But this. Yes, same as the previous property.
My past life showing.
Yeah. I think that this one's interesting because it seems to me there's a good chance that it's an original structure.
Yeah.
And which to me changes the conversation a little bit, but on a significant block. But it's in poor repair. It's a one car garage. So it's a bit of a hardship too. So, but I do think it's worth having that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, one of the other things I think I would like to see is, we have a plan as to how it relates to the balance of the property. Okay. So that's fine. So, okay. Any other thoughts on this as to completeness?
I think I know the owners. I think I know the owners of this house. Yeah.
Okay.
They got a daughter.
Okay.
It's a beautiful home. Yeah.
Seeing, not seeing any other comments or questions being raised, is there then a motion to accept this application as complete for garage demolition pending the commission's receipt and review of the photographs of the principal structure?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I second.
Luke?
Commissioner Schützenhofer? Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Graham White? Chair Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
And Commissioner Murr?
Yes.
All right. I will let them know, and we will get those photos. Now, that's probably something we should make sure that in this proposed rewrite, there's mentions of stuff for a garage. Please include photos of the existing principal structure.
Made a note to insert that in the next iteration.
Yes, the thing I just mentioned about the garage. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Super. Okay. Our long discussed proposed rewrite. Got a couple of things here. I suppose what we can do. Maybe we can look at sort of the things sequentially, first starting with revisions to the ordinance from our last meeting. Did anyone have any questions or comments or proposed revisions to the ordinance based upon what was rewritten, discussed, and rewritten since the last meeting, or are those acceptable at this point? Realizing that what we'll do is when this whole thing is done, we'll take a formal vote to accept the thing and then present it to the village board. And then just so folks think that, you know, we're not skipping stuff. We then have revisions to the flowcharts. We have the revision to the what had been an index, and then replacing the index with a table of contents. And then after that, perhaps we can talk about the idea of how we designate a landmark, how we define what a landmark is, Oak Park's ordinance, et cetera, et cetera. Does that work for everybody?
Yep.
I did find, I think it's on page 9 in red, limited, not limitation, including by way of example and not limited to storm damage?
Actually, the phrase is without limitation.
Oh.
Including by way of
example. And not limitation.
Storm by way of example and not limitation is typically the legal phrase that's used.
Oh, see, I didn't have
it. It's an ordinance.
I don't.
Just trying to be consistent. Do we want to go through this page by page, or are people comfortable just looking at the whole thing? How do folks want to deal with it?
I don't know if we need to go through page by page, you know.
Yeah. I think we've kind of
been
doing it. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Hammering is a good is a good description, Rich. Okay. Does anybody then have any thoughts on the revisions since the last meeting as to the body, reflective of what we talked about at the last meeting?
I don't have any. I thank you again for your work on this.
Yeah, really.
Serious work.
Yes. Luke and I are not going to know what to do with the additional time that's we're going to have not taken up with the occasional email, phone conversation, and meeting to point out specifically on a hard copy. Okay, this and this and this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Draft number 8.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay.
Been fun.
Next, then, I believe would be the flow charts. Does anyone have any thoughts as to the revisions as to the flow charts? Let's start with the window replacement on a significant property. Are there any issues people have with this?
Did we reduce the verbiage? I know we discussed, or maybe Rich would like, was saying, you know, the explanations are in the ordinance. And so I'm not sure if we've reduced.
I think there was a couple minor changes since the last one from that Dave and I had found, but my apologies for not redlining these. But most of them were extremely minor, if I do remember, do recall. But no, yeah, there hasn't been much to trimming, I guess you would want to call it that.
I mean, I guess Luke can always. I mean, I think one of the things that will happen is before we have our final conversation as to the totality of all of the proposed revisions and exhibits and additions, so all that, before we then potentially move it on to consideration by the village board, I would ask that Luke generate a black line, red line, whatever, comparing whatever the final version of everything is against the way things historically existed, and that way you'll be able to see it. Now, in some instances where we've moved things around, it's just going to be numbers in terms of different sections. In some instances, though, we've really tightened up and cleaned up the language, or when it comes time to the accessory structures, what we've done is we have codified concepts that we've developed over time as a way of streamlining it, making it easier, both for the public and frankly the commission as well, to understand how we're going to best approach this.
Where will the flow charts sit? Will they just be online, or are they going to be?
I would suggest that they be in some sequence behind the ordinance as well as the exhibits. The one thing I guess probably not appropriate to say, I would take the table of contents and I'd put that as the absolute beginning so that people can see it that way. That's, I think, typically where people would want to see a table of contents. I know Luke had done what we requested, namely tried artfully to create an index, which
Too many words.
God love you. A Herculean task.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the index, I think the table of contents would go at the front. Although I am unsure if you could, if we're getting the nitty gritty of it, if you could have like a table of contents, table as the front page of an index. But that being said, if it would be posted online or anywhere, it would just be the table of contents would be there first because I would just put it there to the PDF. But I think like when we actually put it to the board, it may have to go as an attachment. But then we could just, when it's, I'll just switch the pages on PDF and go from there. I don't think it's that, not much of a thing.
Okay. As long as we do whatever we can to make it easy for people to understand and use and read cohesively, however it works.
But back to what you're saying, Jen, I don't think there was much red line from this last thing. I do think one of the ones, well, I think we should just go by chart by chart, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you what I did is I read the charts. There are a couple of changes I've got later on with the charts, not on the first one, that are just kind of nits and gnats. But what this does, I think, is it lays things out in a straightforward, systematic way. So it's pretty clean and pretty clear in terms of what the alternatives are and does what. Plus, it also says at the bottom, when in doubt, body the ordinance controls as it should. So. Okay. Is there anything on the window replacement?
No.
Okay. Next, alterations to significant properties. I have got one comment. That is one, two, three, four, fifth box on the left. COA issued, no further HBC action needed. Insert, please, owner may apply for building permit. That's the only thought I have.
The only comment I had about that one was at those last two boxes. One, if the COA is not issued, I guess at that point the owner can apply for a building permit. Or I was just a little confused going from like when, if it's not issued, when can they go for a building permit?
Yeah, it says owner may proceed with the work upon obtaining a building permit in the last box, but yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So basically, when after they go through the public hearing and it doesn't get issued, they can just go in and go for a building permit. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I like the footnote at the bottom. Like, when in doubt, yeah, go to the actual documentation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Smart.
Yep. Okay. That's the window replacement. Significant properties. Any thoughts?
Weren't we just on the significant properties?
Yes.
Okay, so now we're now we're on to demolition, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see the principal structures.
Yeah.
Up in the first box. Owner singular submits.
Yep.
anything on the demolition of significant properties principal structure. Either page. First page one, then page two.
Looks good to me.
But when did they? Probably, everybody else probably knows this. So the application for the COA.
You need to speak a little louder, Jim.
The application, sorry, for the COA is before. We determine that the application is complete. The application is complete.
That's meeting number one.
Meeting number one.
And then two is the public hearing to discuss, kind of like what we're doing now, what we did earlier tonight. This is with a principal structure. We're changing this to the accessories, potentially.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you.
Meeting two will be the public hearing with the sign, the mailers, and all that good stuff.
Public hearing process occurs. Meeting two.
Where are we?
Meeting two on the principal structure.
So I think that'd be page one of the demolition of a significant property principal structure.
Public hearing. Process procedure occurs.
Anything else?
No, not for me.
Demolition of a significant property accessory structures. Any comments?
Looks good.
Yeah.
Something I just noticed. So back to the page Jan had her comment about meeting number two. So I guess it'd be page three of the flow charts. Meeting number two, public hearing occurs, HBC makes a recommendation. So kind of focused on that box. Now please flip to page five. So it would be the access. I can never say the word, but it's called the garage flowchart, page two. That meeting number two, public hearing occurs. HPC makes recommendation within 15 days of hearing. Why do I have those different? Shouldn't they be the same? Those two boxes, one has the mention of the recommendation within 15 days of a hearing, and the other does not. I just noticed that now.
Why did you do that?
I think we have a shorter period of time with respect to accessory structures if it's not significant.
Wow. I'm gonna have to dive into this a little bit.
Okay. While if it is a significant property, either principal structure or an accessory that we've deemed to be significant, then it's the full process, as opposed to the shortened process. Because if we deem that the accessory structure on a significant property is in and of itself not significant, as opposed to insignificant, we then have a shortened period where we're agreeing to have a shortened period of time within which to make our decision, the idea being to speed it up because, someone's got, typically a more recent dilapidated or outmoded garage that, if we feel it can be removed we're trying to move the process, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what this distinction is.
Okay, I'm going to have to dive in on this a little bit. Yeah, something about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are disquieted.
Mm-hmm. But I'll report back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see emails in my future.
Yep.
Okay. That's it as to the various flowcharts. I don't see any other thoughts or comments.
And Jan, they will be staying orange and blue. No green and yellow. Just for the record.
Well, I do have some green and that I can just sport at the table.
Just put it out there. Right.
So we have Exhibit B to the Certificate of Appropriateness. Luke had added some verbiage at the end of item 6 describing what as to windows we'd be looking for.
There it is.
So this would probably be the area where we say
photographs and drawings.
Yep, photographs. There you go.
That was a good catch. Anything else with respect to Exhibit B? Anything as to the table of contents other than placing it in a more easily accessible, an earlier location?
Now, I left those items highlighted because I felt they are still up in the air, but what their page number will be currently.
Excuse me.
Landmarks. Is that something we can move on to, or does anybody else have something else in the areas we've talked about previously?
No.
Okay. Jan had sent Luke an email with some questions about landmarks, and Luke forwarded on to me, and there are some of these I think are already dealt with in the ordinance, but the floor is yours, or I can give you a couple of thoughts and then the floor is yours, whatever your choice is.
I'll give the preamble. So back at the February meeting, when we discussed landmarks and I got the chair, and so starting, and I even pinpointed it was right before the 43-minute mark. And I asked who can nominate, if you remember that. And I said, is it owner? Is it commissioner? Is it anyone? And the response was, we have that. And so then I think there were a couple more. I tend to repeat myself. And then I think there was the repeat response. We do have that. So at that point, I did kind of I went and took a dive into the details, and I felt that there were some that we should look at clarifying, because I found differences. Sometimes one place in the ordinance I found owner, but in another place in the ordinance I found that it could also be a commissioner. And so I mapped those out for Luke. And then Dave, I guess you got a copy of where I found this. And then also, besides in the ordinance, I found statements in the pages with the green headings mm-hmm. in the boxes, which I think we kind of, when we were talking about criteria, we were kind of saying that those green highlighted areas, the application, how to fill out the application, became a support to the ordinance. So in that case, then we had some differences in language in the green and white sheets and the green base sheets. So
nice.
So then Dave, if I mean, should we go through those instances, or it's up to you if you have thoughts?
Yeah, Ken, I just want to respond to a couple of things.
Okay.
The email I got had three questions. The first was, does a local landmark have to be a significant property? The answer is yes. It's in with the definition of local landmark within the body of the ordinance. It says it has to be determined by the commission to be historically or architecturally significant, hence a significant property. The third question is, who can apply for a local landmark? Does it have to be an owner, or can it be someone else? Again, the definition of local landmark says it's either the owner or the commission with the consent of the owner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a neighbor, an interested citizen can't say, I want to landmark someone else's property.
So that would be a third party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not granting a third party the ability.
Okay. Because there's language in here about third
party. The third question was, our ordinance does not have any criteria for a local landmark listed, yet our application references that. In part, the criteria are it's got to be an architecturally, historically significant property. And that in and of itself has got a little bit of a definition. But I also agree, Jan, that I think it makes a lot of sense, because we've got a really nice application attached to somehow weave that in by reference to say, and by the way, the criteria for a local landmark would be in accordance with the would be determined by the commission upon review of an application pursuant to the attached exhibit, whatever. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. So, but we still have, I think, inconsistent language.
Okay, where would the inconsistent language be?
So when we say...
Are you referring to the ordinance or the green bay sheets?
Yeah, even the ordinance. See, in the ordinance, 1314A, little 4, on page 7. And it says, written documentation and evidence acceptable to the village administrator and the commission establishing that the applicant is the current owner.
Yeah, we want to know that the person who's bringing it is the owner.
So then... In another place, though, it says that the commissioner can be the applicant.
We have the ability to do that with as the definition
with the approval of the owner
says. We have the option of we have the right to do that upon obtaining the approval of the owner. That's within
but
the
we are but the commissioner can be an applicant.
I guess.
Yeah. So yeah. That's
okay.
And so that was why I thought that. Yeah. And then, there's the other piece, page 4 in the definitions. And that's where it's the definition's local landmark, page 4,
mm-hmm.
or by the commission with the approval of the owner.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and then it references 1318D, which is on page 14, little 4. And that says...
Jane, can you repeat that page really quick?
Yeah, 14. 14.
Sure.
That actually is continuation. 1318D starts on 13 and then continues on to 14.
Name and address of the applicant, if not the owner of the property. So I guess that
would
be the village.
So we're allowing an applicant to not be the owner of the property. And so I think we're missing a word here or there somewhere. Because we're referencing dash 1318 in the definitions. So that's why I thought I was hoping for some clarification where we had more consistent language.
I think that by the terms of the ordinance, an applicant can only be the owner, an owner, or the village with the consent of the owner, by definition. If there's another word other than applicant you want to suggest, we can talk about that. But I think the word applicant is entirely appropriate.
Yeah, but who? You know, I think in any place it's applicant or, you know, whether it's the owner or permission of the owner. So the applicant can be the commissioner with permission from the owner. The applicant can be the owner. So if we say it in one place, then...
I think the fact that we say in the definition controls, and my concern would be if you, rather than applicant, you say either owner or commission with the commissioner, the consent of the owner, it starts to get a little bit cumbersome in terms of language, but I'm just one voice.
There is a definition of owner. I don't know if that helps or not.
Where is it?
In the definition. So I'm looking at the red line version of page 4.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. That's who has title to the property.
And it's
record owner, lien owner, or legal representative.
Oh, okay, owner.
And it describes what the owner would be if it was a land trust.
I think there is a place in the application. But also there was another case somewhere in the application where you fill out the name of the owner. Even if they're not the applicant, because everybody needs to know what's going on with the property and the landmark. In the case of a corp, no lien holder shall be considered.
So regarding the green sheets, as we'll call them now, I think these are going to have to be what there are old websites listed on them. Old letterhead.
What?
I'm going to have to go comb through these and update them as well, probably for the next meeting. These and the Green Bay sheets.
Well, I mean, just like for,
there are some discrepancies in here that you had pointed out.
Yeah. And I, you know, just for the sake of people who didn't see my note. Yeah. Like property owner. Like on landmark designation procedure, the first box, property owner files nomination form. Well, not exactly from what we just discussed.
Okay.
And then over on the right side, in those requirements in italics, written evidence that applicant is current owner of property. So I think, Luke, that's probably one that Mm-hmm. I mean, if everyone agrees.
Yep.
And then now, let's see, that was one. And probably, let me find another one. Then on the landmark nomination form, in the second sentence, and that confirms that the third party may not apply. Does not permit ordinance does not permit third party designation. And I guess my question is, so we have that, right? Because in the ordinance, we're saying the owner or the commissioner with the permission of the owner.
Yep. I would agree that with the definition in the ordinance covers that. The definition for local landmark, I thought there was some mm-hmm. David mentioned there was submitted by an owner or by the commission with the approval of the owner. So I think that would cover that. And I think maybe this would be the place to put what Brian pointed out, Commissioner Murray pointed out about the little disclaimer at the bottom. Because this is a flow chart, but that doesn't have that disclaimer about for all other things, just see the ordinance.
And then, you know, there was a box. Let's see, one of these green sheets does ask you to check a box. Here it is. No, didn't find it yet. Here it is. On it's actually numbered page 5. And the first green box is a narrative statement of significance. That's like this one. And it looks like this. It's got 3 green boxes. And then you go down, is this structure? Check all that apply. And there, it just says, is it on the National Register? Is it within our historic district? On the River Fort, is it on our significant property? And in that case, I think there was some reference to, if it's not on the significant property, then we need you need to provide a lot of information.
Yeah, because this is check all that apply.
Mm-hmm.
So if the local, per the ordinance, a local landmark has to be on the significant properties list. So
does it?
I thought that was what.
That's what the definition says.
So,
No, it says if it's not on the property list, then we want a lot of information.
So I'm talking about the definition in the ordinance. I think it says that
a local landmark must have been determined to be architecturally or historically significant by the HPC.
Any property found by the commission to be either historically significant or architecturally significant and which has been submitted by an owner, dot, dot, dot. So it does have to be found as historically or architecturally significant.
Okay.
To be a local landmark.
Yeah.
So then maybe in the green sheets, that has to be clearer.
Yes. To play devil's advocate, is there ever I cannot speak to the legals, but would there ever be a place where something is not on the survey first and then becomes a local landmark? Or
could be.
I know that's a can of worms.
Could be.
No. Can't think.
Like when I retire, my house, no. I'm assuming it will be on the local landmarks list.
She lived there.
Yeah.
Luke, Bacella slept here.
Yes.
Wow.
But yeah, there could be a discovery. You know,
Bacella Way. Yeah.
Home that they dug up the time capsule. Or...
fine example, a 1970s yurt.
Yeah. So something to think about, but I think that would be probably have some legal implications in that question too, for sure.
Okay.
So
that was that. And then are we ready to hop to criteria or not?
Yeah, I think that was a good point, Jan, that at least in one of the green sheets, it mentioned criteria.
Mm-hmm.
But I think.
So.
Have to be somewhere.
Yeah. So what did I note here? A reference to ordinance in the guide to completing the nomination form. And the third box.
So that would be in the guide to put.
How to complete. Okay. So we go to the guide and we got the, there we go. And the third box. So
this is the last of the green charts.
Mm-hmm. Criteria for, so the significance of property. Mm-hmm. Criteria for local landmark designation. In order to designate River Forest Landmark, a property must be proven to possess architectural, historic significance and integrity. And it goes on and on. And then it says, is based on compliance with one or more of the historic preservation ordinance criteria outlined on the nomination form. But I didn't see the criteria in the ordinance. So again, to Brian's disclaimer, but still, when we talked last month at the previous meeting, we were saying that what's in this application, you know, what was mapped out as criteria would suffice. So that confused me. Or I think it just deserves some clarification.
If I can address that.
Yes,
definitions, significant properties defined as any structure found by the commission to be historically significant or architecturally significant. Okay. Historically significant definition, a building, structure, area, or monument associated with the life or activities of a person or persons who have contributed significantly to or participated significantly in the history or historic events of the nation, state of Illinois, or village or River Forest. B, a building, structure, area, or monument associated with a historic event having significance to the nation, state of Illinois, or River Forest. That's as to history. As to architectural significance, architecturally significant, again, within the definitions, A, a structure designed by or associated with an architect, builder, or architectural firm whose work is recognized by the commission as significant. B, a structure which is an example of a particular style in terms of detail, material, or workmanship, and which possesses a high degree of integrity, having undergone little or no alteration since its original construction. C, a structure which is one of a contiguous grouping of such structures, having a sense of cohesiveness expressed through a similarity of characteristics of a style, period, or method of construction, and representing the architectural significance of the whole group. I believe those are sufficient
criteria,
complete definitions.
So I think that would be at the
I think that's that. It.
So then in the
to mention that in this, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, where do we find it? Well, it's in, and so what I'm hearing is we're going a lot to back to our definitions on a lot of things.
Now, just to throw this out there, in the applications for local landmark section, there is, if the commission, so I'm on page 7, I think it's probably the, of the, I'll go with the non-redline version.
Page 7 of what? Oh, of the ordinance?
Yes, of the ordinance, oh. Sorry, guys. If the commission has not previously identified the property as historically or architecturally significant, a written statement describing the structure, so I think that goes to my question, that potentially it could...
Yeah, not someone could say, hey, you missed one.
Yeah.
And we could say, nope.
And where are you reading, Luke?
13.1.4.A.3.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep, I got that noted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A written statement describing the structure. Uh-huh. And that, so again, that, so... so how does it, How does three relate to definitions or little three?
I would imagine it's, I mean, I guess we're getting into like the foundations here of for historic preservation. Like, what if like a celebrity lived in further down the line, a celebrity lived in something, and then it, I guess it doesn't have to, is it, because it doesn't have to just be architecturally, it could be historically. So
historically significant.
So if someone were born, or I don't know.
So we just leave like, it, or
I think it's kind of there as kind of a keepsake almost, or kind of a coverall if something were to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of just in case we missed something, but the reason for the historical significance are for Paul Harvey's house, the home of the gentleman who invented the Twinkie, things of that nature, neither of which in and of themselves are probably architecturally significant, but people know who these folks are and they were of importance in our community.
Can I add one? Jay's Potato Chips. His name was Jap. And so during World War II, that wasn't going over real well, but his home is in River Forest. And then it was changed to Jay's Potato Chips.
Next time we start adding stuff to individuals.
Don't ask me.
Go for it.
No way. I am not going through that again. Somebody else can do all that. Okay. So did we settle and Luke's going to kind of go through the green?
Yep. Because that has to be.
Green sheets.
That has to be just kind of re-looked over.
It's not only for us and we have a good understanding, but it's for any commission member, any commission that comes along.
I think we also have to keep in mind that as with any legal document, when there are definitions, there is consistency in using a definition once and carrying it through by referencing the definition as opposed to reciting all the individual criteria within a definition. Otherwise, you get something which gets to be rather cumbersome by its length, and God forbid you miss a line. That which is always, you know, we're all human, and that's possible. Therefore, in most instances, ordinances have a tendency to rely upon definitions. And I think we have consistently written, applied, we haven't really changed those definitions over time at all. And I think they're pretty tight. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I will.
Great. Thanks.
Yep. Another flow chart to work on. Make sure that one's correct and stuff. So,
and the, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the green sheets are good.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean,
they provide a lot of.
The other thing is, you know, maybe we'll have a list like this with 72 landmarks one day.
One day, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Speaking of the Oak Park ordinance that was provided to us, I went through and I had one thought that their landmark nomination process is a two-step process. And I think it's more complicated than ours because they basically, Oak Park relies upon the definition of landmarks as opposed to significant properties. Significant properties really don't exist in their nomenclature. But there is one thing I saw that I thought would certainly bear some discussion, if not inclusion, and that is the concept of demolition by neglect. And that is if there's a significant property that an owner refuses to maintain and seeks effectively to effect a demolition of their property by basically not keeping it up. And that's something that I think it would be the rare circumstance, but I think we may wish to consider either now or broader at the next meeting if people want to think about it some, how we deal with, again, if not significant problems, certainly landmarks. I mean, I would think some people might object to our ability to take significant properties and require them to maintain it. But as to someone that's gone the step to create a landmark, I think that would be entirely appropriate. So we can tell them, you got to maintain it. You wanted a landmark, you got a landmark, you got to maintain it to some minimal standard. My thought.
Yeah, that's why they become landmarks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a voluntary thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big step.
But then for a subsequent owner, then the owner says, well, I don't care. But why would you buy a home and then let it just... Well, that's for a whole nother... That's another discussion. Sorry. But yeah, that's filet mignon for thought. I had a thought too about Oak Park. Since they're our neighbor and they're very generous about sharing their information, and with you, Luke, and you were allowed to print out the. So even though we were looking at Oak Park, at some point, we still have to look. And I think what we did was to look at River Forest, because it's very different. And we're not going to match Oak Park in any way. You know, we don't have the two-level setup, and we don't have the powers. I mean, we have a lot less power. We have more limitations, but I think we're working within that framework to keep River Forest just looking the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, well, again, while it's helpful to have Oak Park, then we can only draw so much from them.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's a much broader definitional consensus within Oak Park of the value of preservation, that through education we're striving people here to appreciate. I think we've made some inroads, but I think we're at a different stage in the process.
Well, I think Oak Park sometimes is
trying. That's for other commissions. That's for subsequent commissions too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we read in the news that Oak Park is not always. You know, they have exceptions too now. So yeah, I think they're
okay. Discussion regarding protection and promotion of River Forest architecture and history. Do we have anything else that folks would like to discuss?
Just, you know, keep promoting the house walks. I got an idea. I don't know how far I can get with it, but you know, we've got that wall of fame out there, all of our past presidents, and it might be kind of fun to maybe publish where they lived. I know where some of them lived. Yeah. And, you know, maybe the first 20 or something. And a lot of those homes are standing. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah. So that might be something to the people take care of these old homes in River Forest. But other than that, I don't have any ideas right now.
Anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
Okay, hold on. I didn't even have my pen clicked yet. Sitting here. All right. Commissioner Schutzenhofer. Commissioner Sager.
Yes.
Commissioner Graham White.
Yes.
Chair Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand.
Aye.
Commissioner Murr.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 8:19 p.m.